A Superior Court judge has sided with the state in a legal battle over the Pebble Mine project. Judge Eric Arseth found that the state was not required to give public notice before issuing exploratory permits for the project site, and that it did not need to study the potential impacts of the activity first. The plaintiffs, including a coalition of Alaska Native Village Corporations, are considering an appeal to the Alaska Supreme Court. The case dates to 2009 when the coalition and others alleged that the Department of Natural Resources violated provisions of the state constitution by allowing for exploration to occur over 20 years without public notice or advanced study of the potential impact of the work. But Arseth, in a 154-page opinion, said they failed to prove their case. Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski says reducing the high cost of energy is the best way to promote economic growth in the state, but she says the new focus on spending cuts in Washington, D.C. will mean less federal money to help build Alaska's energy infrastructure.
Federal support for R&D will continue, but funding to actually help build out the facilities, like the government did when APA built the Snettisham and built the Aklutna hydroelectric projects, not going to come as easily as it has in the past.
Murkowski spoke yesterday at their Rural Energy Conference here in Juneau. She suggested the state of Alaska, which currently enjoys a budget surplus because of oil tax revenues, could make up for some of the decline in federal spending. She also urged private industry to invest in Alaska energy projects.
The private sector is working on a lot of new technologies that will need to be demonstrated on a smaller scale before expanding into larger markets. So we can be viewed as an opportunity for them. I've always said, let us be the pilot projects up here in Alaska. If we can make it pencil out here where our energy costs are higher than anywhere in the country, think about what that demonstrates for the success of the project.
The 7th Annual Rural Energy Conference continues through tomorrow at Centennial Hall. Two state house committees are on their way to rural Alaska to see firsthand how education funds are being spent. The House Community and Regional Affairs and House Education Committees will visit Galena and Koyukuk this week for a glimpse into life in rural Alaska. Galena is a town of about 500 on the Yukon River and home to a statewide boarding school as well as a statewide distance education program. Known as IDEA, the Interior Distance Education of Alaska supports homeschool students throughout the state, including Juneau. Representative Kathy Munoz chairs the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, and she says the committees want to see the programs that lawmakers are funding.
We altered the foundation formula in the last legislative session to increase funding for vocational education. We also funded the governor's scholarship program, so we're very interested in what school districts are doing to encourage and to prepare students to take advantage of that opportunity once they graduate. And then we're also investing in vocational education infrastructure throughout the state. We're trying to get Alaskans prepared for the jobs that are going to be required as we move forward into the future.
The lawmakers from Juneau, Anchorage, Fairbanks, and Stony River will also stop in Koyukuk, of a village of about 100 on the Yukon River. Munoz says the committee hopes for a clearer picture of the unique rural subsistence economy so lawmakers know better how to support the communities. A newly formed special legislative committee is taking the first steps toward finding long-term fiscal stability for the state. The House Fiscal Policy Committee is ready to hire a consultant specializing in communications to strengthen the public's trust and understanding of the state budget. Dave Donaldson has a story.
The Special House Committee is the offshoot of a fiscal policy working group created by Kodiak's Alan Osterman, now House Majority Leader. It met for nearly 2 years, studying why previous attempts to reform the state's fiscal structure have failed. The group ended during this year's session with less than one page of recommendations, and Special Committee Chair Anna Fairclough, a Republican from Eagle River, says the members determined that a knowledgeable public is key to any solution, and that's where the communications consultant comes into the picture. Fairclough says people need to see Alaska's future without oil money in it.
I think we have a win if the general public understands that a gas pipeline, use of the permanent fund dividends, and a sales tax or an income tax will not meet what we're currently receiving in dollars from oil production. that's what scares me as an Alaskan, is it's wonderful that we've had this history, but if we don't take a significant look at where we're at today, how can we plan for where we're going to be tomorrow?
Fairclough says the answers can best be found outside the capital, where the communities have already determined their own priorities. She says that's the message that needs to be brought back to the legislature, not as a partisan solution. The consultant the committee will hire will devise a way to make financial presentations through the state and for giving the public a basic foundation in how government is paid for. From that, she says, the goal is to build a consensus among a very broad spectrum of politics and philosophy.
We can work together and we can figure out what the best next step is should Alaska see, you know, a downturn in income. But, you know, we can't throw stones at each other when people bring genuine ideas or concerns to the table.
The task force that set the direction of the committee was made up of people from the private and public sectors, and it did not have any partisan stand. Anchorage Democrat Mike Dugan was on it. He says it became apparent that the public must be a part of the discussion of the state's finances. He says the state now has somewhere between $12 and $15 billion it could spend, and everyone in the legislature has an idea on how to use some of it.
Before we do any of that, it seems to me that we should have some sort of an idea what we're trying to do overall. And before we do that, it seems to me that we have to invite the general public into some sort of discussion about that. Because if we don't, what's going to happen is, you know, the legislature will, you know, pick the ideas that have got the most votes, and that money will be gone.
The consultant who will devise a communications plan will be chosen within the month. The direct education process will begin after next year's session. I'm Dave Donaldson in Juneau.
Juneau residents had the first opportunity at a new regional transportation plan Monday evening. Other southeast communities will get their chance over the next month. About 30 people gathered at Centennial Hall to hear about the six options proposed by the Southeast Alaska Transportation Plan. They also had a chance to ask Southeast Planning Chief Andy Hughes questions about those options. They include keeping things as they are and switching to a road and shuttle ferry system. Other options would drop runs to Bellingham and South Central Alaska. Here's a sampling of the questions asked and the answers given during that meeting.
The mainline ferries now, it takes 4.5 hours to go from Juneau to Haines, and the fast ferry does it in a little over 2 hours. What's the expectation for the Alaska class ferry?
It would be similar to the mainliners running the route today.
The Bellingham run, for example, you say it's to capacity. Does it even come close to paying its own way?
None of the runs pay their own way. Now, my impression to date is that the only vessel, just because of its capacity, that sometimes recovers its operating costs when it's running full is the Columbia.
To what extent can you or are you willing to pick and choose elements from the different alternatives? Is that what you're going to figure out during the scoping process, basically?
When we get to the point where we're going to put together a preferred alternative, we may draw from each and every one of them. We may end up with one of these alternatives as a preferred alternative, or a combination of them, or something new.
Southeast Planning Chief Andy Hughes says the transportation plan is driven in part by a need to reduce growing ferry costs. That means finding ways to save money or changing routes or the frequency of service. The next meeting on the Southeast Alaska Transportation Plan is today at Gustavus City Hall. An open house starts at 5:30 and the public meeting starts at 6:30. That's followed by meetings October 4th in Yakutat, October 5th in Skagway, and October 6th in Haines.